Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal. And I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, David. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good, Bruce. Doing good. Although I have to say, whenever I do the intro, I always think of like Dick Irvin doing the intro to Hockey Night in Canada and how unbelievably smooth he was. And I always feel like 10th between 10th and 50,000th best, having listened to Dick Irvin all my life. God, he was fantastic.
He could do it all, Dick Irvin. He could be the studio host. He could be the color guy. He could be the play-by-play guy, which he developed into after Danny Gallivan retired. And he didn't have sort of the smooth voice, but the overall sort of delivery and professionalism, I thought, was top-notch.
And from one of hockey's royal families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his dad was a famous coach.
Dick Irvin Sr.
Yeah.
All right. Bruce, the Oilers just got hammered tonight. 6-3 by the Toronto Maple Leafs. The score in some ways is flattering. It was 5-0 after two periods. The grade A shots were relatively close, although after the two periods, they were 9-2 for the Leafs. Mm-hmm. In the end, they were 12-12 with the subset of 5 alarm shots telling the story, 7 for the Leafs and 3 for the Oilers. But I have to say the 5 alarm shots for the Leafs were like 10 alarm shots, most of them. Like they were just, they were fantastic scoring chances that the Leafs developed right in close on the goalie. And Stuart Skinner didn't have a lot of chance. You know, it would have been nice. A big save would have been nice, but all the goals were really hard shots, difficult shots. Bruce, this is our two good things, two bad things, two numbers, and one conundrum podcast. And we'll go with two bad things each because this was an ugly loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. What's your good thing?
Yeah, well, it's got to be the third period because it sure isn't anything, not one thing, not one single play, not one second from the first or the second period, which were both abominable. Maybe the two worst periods the Oilers have played this entire season, David.
Yeah.
And they came out and they crapped the bed in the first. And I'm thinking, well, we've seen this before. They'll come back and make a game of it in the second. They came out and they crapped the bed again in the second, even worse than the first, I thought. They got some a few more shots in the second, but it was awful. In the third period, they sort of righted the ship and at least started creating, started skating, started handling the puck like they'd actually had one on their stick before, passed the puck to players on their own team. Interesting things like that. Got involved in battles and actually won a few of them. So it was like a total transversion. If they had done that after the first period, they might have been able to salvage this game. But 5-0 down after two, you know, that's they came close and, you know, they were a goal post or maybe a goal line deflection off a defenseman's skate away from making it 5-4 maybe, but five goal deficits, just too much. And they were unable to bounce back, but at least in terms of showing up and at least giving their many, many, many friends and family who came out there to watch the boys, all those boys from Greater Toronto area play. And they just laid such a collective stinker. It can't be sitting very well with any of them because that was poor, poor, poor. And at least, you know, they got 20 minutes worth of something sort of resembling Oilers hockey. So for salvaging it and you know, not losing 9-0 or 15-0 or whatever, the way it seemed like it was going, that's my good thing. They only lost 6-3.
Yeah, had that feeling it might have even been uglier, could have been uglier. Bruce, my good thing is the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I hate to say that, but man, they outplayed the Oilers. They out-hustled the Oilers. They were first to every puck, it seemed, and they just won battle after battle after battle. They were so much more focused and prepared for this game than the Oilers. Yep. They just took it to Edmonton at every turn. And I admire that. Like, I'm not obviously a big fan of Toronto, But that was a really admirable performance by the Toronto Maple Leafs. And if they can bring that kind of smart game to the playoffs, this team might surprise. Like, I know they're not the first team in the Eastern Conference off everyone's tongues in terms of doing well in the playoffs, based a lot on past history. And their goaltending's iffy, and they got some other problems. I understand that. But that was a really good team. That was a great checking team. And it's great checking teams, smart defensive teams that do well in the NHL playoffs at this time. I mean, even the Avs, who are an unbelievable attacking team, were a smart checking team that year that they won the Stanley Cup. You know, you could say that was the one team that's more of a bit of a throwback, I think, to a total offensive powerhouse. But all these other teams winning it recently they just check the heck out of everybody else. And that's what Toronto did tonight to the Oilers. Your bad thing.
Yeah, they came out laying on the body, eh?
Yeah.
Joel Edmondson, he was a big performer in this game, running. Connor McDavid into the corner, running and smashing down Leon Draisaitl on two or three occasions. And he was getting the same carte blanche from the refs that he did when he played for Montreal in the 21 playoffs. Remember him and Shea Weber running everybody's show in that playoffs, and Ben Chiarot. Anyway, he played hard, and apparently he played fair, because he managed to, he got one double minor with Draisaitl, and that was it for him. But Toronto was winning the battles. They wanted the puck more than Edmonton for 40 minutes. They were by far the better team.
Is Edmondson the one who tripped Evander Kane? Because it's interesting. If you trip Connor McDavid, you get a penalty. But if you trip Evander Kane, you don't.
It didn't happen if you tripped Evander Kane.
Yeah, it never happened.
Yeah, he does not fare well when it comes to drawing penalties. And you can see he's starting to get really seriously exasperated by it. And with some cause.
Yeah, I think so too.
I've seen some of these fouls and I just shake my head. So that's not a penalty? Really?
Yeah, he's the anti-Corey Perry, right? Like, Corey Perry gets away with everything, and he probably gets a lot of penalties.
Well, Kane deserves the penalties that he gets, and I got no problem with that. Like, he's, you know, he's a rugged player, and he does some filthy stuff, right? But he's also on the receiving end sometimes. And anyway.
Your first bad thing, Bruce.
Getting started. My first bad thing is the game, and especially one early play by Darnell Nurse, who just did not have it in this game and did not appear to have his head in the game. This is a player I praised last game as one of my good things. I thought he was fantastic on Thursday night, and tonight he came up like his head was somewhere in the clouds. I don't know what happened. He went home to family and friends, and he came out and he was, I mean, that first goal by Toronto, it's hard to imagine a more wretched play.
Plays.
Like, he tried to stand up at a guy at the blue line, and the guy just dumped it into the corner past him. And then where'd he go? Like, he just sort of meandered. He played it like he was a left winger. Thought, okay, the guy got it past me. I got to hang out by the boards near the point man so I can block a shot from the point or something. Meanwhile, the puck goes into the corner. His partner comes across to his side, can't cut out the pass. It goes right in front of the net, and there's nobody left. And in it goes to clean shot, clean goal.
Yeah, they got a 3-on-2 out of it. Carrick and Daharnay both went to the corner.
Yeah,
and Carrick, Daharnay lost the foot race, and Carrick allowed the puck out. And there should have been someone in the slot. Should have been Darnell Nurse. Yeah. And if he had gotten on his horse, as soon as he lost that foot, you know what I think he was like? At the play at the blue line, Bruce, he was so ineffectual because he was a couple foot standing up someone who was a couple feet away. And it's like, oh boy, that go bloody well wrong. He's thinking to himself, boy, that was a big mistake on my part. And meanwhile, the play's
60 feet away in the corner.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, Daharnay got beaten by the pass, but so did Carrick. And Carrick was not in a bad spot, but he played it terribly. Like, instead of going for the shoulder, like, you got to go for the guy's on the boards with the puck. You got to go for the shoulder, in this case, a right shot. You go for the right shoulder between the body and the stick. If you want to break up the pass, you don't hit the guy on the far side and leave his hands free to make the pass. Well, he hit the wrong side of the guy and left his stick open, and the guy made a simple pass in front, and that guy made a simple shot into the net. So that was wretched. Then a Nurse was in the penalty box for the second goal on an interference call where he got beat through the neutral zone. He was laying on the ice on the fourth goal, which I actually don't really blame him. We'll talk more about that fourth goal in a minute, but he was the only Oiler on screen in frame on a 3-on-1 where Toronto just passed it around him and he was kind of piggy in the middle, got beat for the fourth goal. And then at the end of the period, as the buzzer went, he came up and he bumped Joel Edmondson, took a penalty for that, and then took a 10-minute misconduct and wound up sitting 12 minutes in the penalty box in the third period. And for what? I mean, if you're going to go and take a penalty at the end of the period, get your money's worth at least. You know, take a shot at Joel Edmondson, who had earlier in the game thugged both McDavid and especially Draisaitl, but he just gave him a little bump. Anyway, it just was not his night. And he, like many Oilers, had looked a little better in the third. Mind you, it was 12 minutes in before he even got out of the box, of course. So I saw someone say addition by subtraction, which is a bit harsh, but it was not Darnell's night, and that started early with that just brain cramp on the first goal.
Yeah. The Starfish play, like, it was the second 3-on-1 the Oilers had given up in about 60 seconds there. And mm-hmm. Bouchard had thwarted the first, one of the rare decent plays Bouchard made all night, thwarting the first 3-on-1, and then they gave up another one. Mm-hmm. And Nurse was the last man back. He's in a very tough position. But I did think, and they passed it around him, but he went down too soon on the Starfish. And he's got a time, like, that can work, but you have to time it correctly, and he didn't. And maybe on the 3-on-1, it's not even the time to do it because there's so many passing options. You're going to make, you know, they're going to get it around you if you do it. In any case, it wasn't his worst play. That was on the first goal. Bruce, my bad thing is the fifth goal. And I think both the first goal and the fifth goal typified the Oilers' effort or lack thereof this game. And I think the Oilers kind of set a record tonight for failed stick checks per 60. And there was a number of them on this play. Mm-hmm. First, so the Leafs are rushing up the ice, and it's a 3-on-3, and Ekholm, Bouchard, and McDavid are back. And first, Bouchard loses a board battle where he tries to stick check, and he just fails in the stick check. Puck goes into the slot area, and Ekholm flies by the guy and tries to stick check him, misses that. Beautiful pass over to Bobby McMahon of the Leafs. And Connor McDavid has been puck watching. And he's not even aware that Bobby McMahon is there. And McMahon gets the pass and just slams it in the net past Stuart Skinner. And that's all she wrote for Stuart at the end of the period, at least. So that was just terrible defensive hockey from three of their top five players at even strength. You know, they're just such key players on the team. Mm-hmm. And I know it's 4-0 then, but that's why it was 4-0 then, because that had been happening
like that
again and again and again. Mm-hmm. What's your second bad thing?
Yeah, it's actually the goal just before that, the 4-0 goal.
Okay.
And this was a sequence in the second period where the Oilers were trying to create some pressure in the Montreal zone, and they were all, I think was it the tail end of a power play?
It was right at the end, Bruce. It was indeed.
And they had Perry was out there, Kane, and Bouchard fired a slap shot from the point, hit Perry on the arm. Looked like he was hurt, but he's a real tough guy, Corey Perry. Anyway, he was limping to the bench. Kane was out of the picture. The puck squirted out to Adam Henrique about 10 feet inside the blue line, and Henrique bobbled it, and then he bobbled again, and then he bobbled it right outside the blue line, and he pushed the puck back over the blue line, and then he saw the linesman's arm go up, and he clearly decided, oh, I'm not allowed to touch the puck, it's offside, when the only play is to touch the puck and get a whistle no matter what, because the rest of the team was completely out of it. Like, three of them were deep in the zone. Perry was limping to the bench. Nurse was jumping to the side, expecting a pass from Henrique, who couldn't handle the puck or even keep it, you know, from squibbing out over the blue line. And so he didn't touch the puck, and then Toronto made a simple pass out, and that led to the 3-on-1, where at least Nurse hustled to get back. But there was no other Oiler even in the frame. And to me, that was, for a player who's getting a lot of praise for his hockey smarts, he didn't show any of them on that play. Like, that was just a terrible blunder by Adam Henrique there. His team was in huge trouble. He could see all the players in front of him way out of the play. He had to know. Even if they called an intentional offside, so what? I'd rather have an intentional, like a D-zone faceoff, than a 3-on-1 all the way in with nobody even, you know, in frame to pressure them. Like, they were able to do a triangular three-way passing play. All three guys passed it. And I think the guy that made the first pass wound up stuffing it into the net. Nightmare stuff. And there's nothing that bothers me more than mental errors. And that was a very serious one, and he should feel shame.
He probably does.
I dare say he does.
That is a safe bet, Bruce, for Adam Henrique. He's a smart player. And
He is. He just... It was just symptomatic of the team tonight. It was just sort of, what do I do next? It was like they had stage fright or the yips, you know, whatever it was. I was going to say not pretty, but it was butt ugly hockey that the Oilers played for 40 minutes. And that was one example of way too many examples.
Indeed. Bruce, I think, and I usually don't go with this kind of bad thing because I'm not around the team. I don't talk to these players at all. But I'm going to just suggest that a bad thing tonight, there was so much hoopla about Zach Hyman returning to Toronto and in pursuit of his 50th goal. And on Hockey Central, just before the game, they actually interviewed McDavid, and he said, yeah, you know, Zach says it's not a big thing, but we all know it's a big thing. So I'm going with that. Like, it was on everybody's mind, I think, to go in there and score some goals and set up Zach. And that was the mindset, I think. That idea was just so out there. It was hypnotizing. And again, this is all conjecture on my part. I'm completely speculating. But it was talked about so much, including by McDavid in that interview. And of course, he's asked about it, but you get asked about it so much. And I just think that's what there was in their head. We're going to go out there and score some goals. Instead of thinking we're going to go out there and outwork, outdefend, outhustle, and grind out a victory on the road. That's what I'm going to say was on their minds. And I think that's why they were so flat in this game. That's my speculation du jour. Your number, Bruce.
Yeah. I was thinking of going with 49, but maybe I shouldn't after that.
It's okay. I mean, I'm not against Zach Hyman trying to score goals. That's good.
No, of course. He did score.
49 is good.
He did score his 49th. I'm going to go with the number 11 because I wrote about this today. The number of Edmonton Oilers in the lineup tonight who hail from the province of Ontario. 10 of them from the greater Toronto area are within a stone's throw of the greater Toronto area. I've never seen such an accumulation of players from one area on any Oilers team in memory. I mean, I remember the Alberta Oilers of 1972-73, and they had 10 guys from Alberta. Go figure. Because all the homecoming fellows saying, oh, I've got well known there. I got family there and a little bit of, name recognition. And those fellows, came back to play here, And yet I've never seen a team that was sort of half made up of players from one province or from any other country or, even, 10 Europeans. The Oilers have never had quite such a collection. But these 10 guys, Nurse, McDavid, Bouchard, McLeod, Hyman, Fogel, Brown, Perry, Henry, Carrick, they grew up where Toronto was literally the closest NHL team to them. And so this is a home game for them on the road, the game where their friends and family can go and see them play. And I was hoping for a big performance from them, and we got the polar opposite, where it was almost like stage fright. They just didn't seem to have it. And I don't know that any of those guys that I mentioned had a strong game. But that, you could go right through the entire 20-man roster. And Calvin Pickard had a good game. And he could almost be my good thing. Yeah. Yeah. And
Corey Perry had a good game, I thought, too.
Yeah, he was all right, Corey. Anyway, yeah, he's been through that homecoming more than a few times. I noticed they booed him when they announced him when he scored. But it just seemed like, for whatever, this critical mass of players that they had, whether this game was too big for them or too many distractions or too much time worrying about getting tickets for people or whatever, it didn't work out in favor. That's just more to me, just a curiosity, and maybe a little bit, which I didn't get into in my post, a little bit about Ken Holland's approach to team building of trying to build guys that like each other and get along with each other. And a number of these guys have known each other for quite some time, and they get along really well. And mostly that's a good thing. Today and tonight, well, it's not a good thing. It's just a number. Cody Ceci is the 11th. He's from Ottawa. And I'm convinced he will play again tomorrow night in Ottawa, in his hometown, where he played 4 years for the 67s and 6 years for the Senators. And then maybe he'll get in the rotation of guys that sit out. Well, Ceci, he was far from Edmonton's biggest problem, or really not a problem at all tonight.
He was their best defenseman, just because everyone else was so bad. I mean, it's not like he did great stuff, but everyone else.
Right.
Everyone else was really
Ekholm,
bad.
I can't remember Ekholm having such struggles as that.
Yeah, they were off. They were off. Oh. And the Toronto's a good team. Bruce, my number is 89. Connor McDavid now has 89 assists this year. And that's tied for his career high. He had 3 assists tonight, 89 in total. So he is well on his way to 100 assists, which I find exciting. I like stats. I like the numbers. And that's a nice, big, fat number. He's already got 115 points this season in 66 games. So he's having quite a year in terms of his scoring prowess, even though that might have been, heading into the second period, after the second period, it was trending to be his worst game of the season. Mm-hmm. But then he got 3 assists, so he picked it up a little bit. But garbage time assists are garbage time assists. They're not that meaningful in some ways, but I was glad to see him get them anyway. Bruce, let's talk.
He was a different guy in the third, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, the game was different. Yeah. It was garbage time. The Leafs backed off. They weren't giving that supreme effort that had defined their play, I'm going to suggest, in the first two periods, and then there was more room for McDavid to operate. So, Bruce, the question is, what did the Edmonton Oilers reveal in this ugly beatdown by the Toronto Maple Leafs? What did they say about themselves, do you think? Any thoughts, or do you want me to start?
My brief thoughts were not ready for prime time. Like, this was a very high-profile game on national TV against, you know, a high profile opponent and every reason to come out and showcase yourselves. And instead, what we saw was that 40 minutes of mush and not enough pushback either. So that left me concerned. Like, I thought they were just physically the number two team in this game and on a number of other levels as well. And I'm thinking it's one night, you just write it off, but I'm left with serious questions, frankly.
Yeah, me too, Bruce. And I don't think it's just one night. I think this game said everything about the Edmonton Oilers, everything you need to know about why they have not succeeded in the playoffs so far. This is a team which consistently in big games against teams that are close in talent or near equal in talent will be outworked and outdefended and outsmarted. And it happened again. And they figured out a way to limit that during their winning streak. And they played hockey the most encouraging hockey of the McDavid era has been played this year during that series. And they were winning games 3-1, 2-1. And it was a different Oilers team. They realized how to win. And I think they still know that. And I'm expecting we're going to see it again in the playoffs. Some nights, though, they got their minds on something else. It seems like scoring 50, Zach Hyman scoring 50 goals. And they are not going to win the Stanley Cup. They are not going to come close to winning the Stanley Cup if their first, second, and third priorities are not defense, defense, defense. This is a team that has to focus on defensive hockey, first, second, and third. And if they do that, Bruce, I think they will win the Stanley Cup. I think they will decide their fate in these playoffs, because it comes down to their attitude towards defensive hockey, especially now that they've shown they can play it, that they can actually do it. So are they willing to? Are they willing to rein in, you know, some of those offensive instincts and river hockey instincts that reign supreme in a lot of these players, and buckle down and play solid defensive hockey and win the Stanley Cup? So this game was a favor. The Toronto Maple Leafs gave them a favor. And I hope there's a few more, actually, as the season winds down. Favors like this, where the Oilers are reminded that they will lose in the playoffs for sure if they don't get back to that grinding defensive game first and foremost. Because when they do that, the goals are going to come. They're going to get enough goals to win.
Yeah, goal scoring is not really the problem, although tonight, clearly, nine after two periods. And we had them with two grade A shots, both on the power play.
I think
And none at even strength for 40 minutes. And in the first period, the second, third, and fourth lines didn't even have one shot. Yeah. They all were tied with zero expected goals. Somebody posted a chart. And there's nine guys on the very bottom line, just that their names all crowded and overlapping one another.
The top line wasn't much better in terms of, they didn't have a grade A shot either in the
first two periods. Not grade A, but at least they had a couple shots on net. I mean, the yes. bottom three lines didn't have a shot on net.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought their puck management was atrocious in this game. If you want to play smart defensive thing, for thing one is just don't be giving the puck away all the time. But it was like a live grenade, and it was just one of those things where they sort of, you know, not only not put out fires, they actively started them, and whatever was ripping through the team was catching. You know, there was sort of nobody who stood up and said, you know, I'm going to make an example of making a real strong play. Knock somebody down, take the puck off of them, make a good pass, and get the puck going the right direction. It just wasn't happening at all.
Yeah, Sam Carrick didn't even fight anyone.
No. Oh, Matthias Janmark did.
Matthias Janmark did. That was good. That was good. Oh, Matthias. That's his second fight, and it's like within a few weeks of his first fight. So
third, well, it's his third, but his second is
Oilers. It's his third. Okay.
Yeah, he beat up Nick Cousins
a
couple years ago when he was in Vegas, when Yanmark was in Vegas.
You don't want to fight the Yanster. He will get you. All right, Bruce. So the next game's in Ottawa. What night is that?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay.
4 o'clock tomorrow. It's an hour earlier than this game. And the good news is that the Oilers in their faux comeback tonight, McDavid played 23 minutes. Nuge played 23. Dreisaitl played 21.5. Bouchard played 28.5. Ekholm played 23. So all those guys are going to be probably feeling it a little bit tomorrow at Ottawa. So,
yeah.
But I'm hoping that the team is going to come out and play a hell of a lot smarter and more contained hockey tomorrow. And generally, we've seen them bounce back from bad games. And
they need to play like the 1980s Islanders.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
They were a good team.
They were a good team. They were a really good defensive hockey team. All right, Bruce. Let's leave it there. Thanks for talking tonight.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.